always correct, as long as you're not talking political correctness. Bob McCowan in Primetime Sports. Now, on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel all right. You know I work all day to get your money.
Hour number one of Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network. I am Bob McCown. That, right there, is John Shannon. And to my right, the Chief Executive Officer, CEO, COO, President, Chairman of the Board of Global Resolutions.
Are you really?
No.
Oh.
But the guy who is some kind of upset right now. Who that? That's Paul Tory. Not spelled the same as the Mayor of Toronto.
No relation, then.
No relation. Oh. No relation.
You're good, Bob.
See, I figured that out.
You're good.
You.
He's a sleuth.
Well, who the hell's he? He ain't here.
He's not here. So we can call me whatever we want.
What about Lawyer to the Stars? What about that?
Legal Counsel to the Stars.
Yeah, what about that? That's good.
That's fine.
Well, it says here Global Resolution, yeah, so he wants some publicity.
Yeah. You mean Global Resolutions needs publicity?
No.
What is it called?
Global Resolutions.
Okay,
nicely done, John.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to use Atlantis in the next hour.
Oh, okay.
Because God knows they need publicity.
Yeah. What about Tragically Hip? Are you
No.
Okay.
Hey, I have a question for you, Bob. How come you're not going to Kingston this weekend?
Because I went to St. Catharines last weekend. Well,
but you have a link to Kingston and the hip and hip wine. You could do the double dip in the wine.
Nah.
No?
Not for 2.5 minutes.
I was going to say, the only guy bitching about 2.5 minutes on network television, Bob McCowan.
Can you believe 2.5 minutes? I went all the way to St. Catharines.
And Grapes is complaining about 5.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Is he really?
Oh. Yeah. I got half of Grapes.
Well, yeah, it's about right.
What do you mean it's about
it's
right?
It's about right. Yeah. You're half of Grapes.
Whoa.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Did I walk into a storm?
No.
Did you hear about Christmas Day?
It's the 25th this year.
Oh, okay, you know. Okay. No, it's apparently they're saying huge storms in the local area.
Really?
Huge.
Maybe.
No, for sure.
No, maybe.
No, those guys know. The weather guys know what they're talking about.
No, they don't.
Well, who are you listening to?
It's one of your producers.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Why, do they want you to come in?
Some dope in the other room thinks it's going to snow on Christmas, so.
Do they want you to work that day or something, Gordon?
No. I'll be out of here. I'll be in Collingwood probably.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Where it'll be mild, I'm sure.
Yes.
Anything north of Highway 7, they get twice as much. You know that.
Yeah.
Snow, too.
Oh, yes. For sure.
So if you're going eastbound on Highway 7, you're fine. If you're going westbound on Highway 7.
Could be trouble, Bob.
Could be in trouble.
You know.
It's like there's an invisible wall there. Well, sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. It's very mild this past few days. So.
It's been beautiful. Oh, we could have golfed.
This is great.
Snow is.
Except for the.
Well, you can't play golf.
It's a little damp.
I'll tell you what. I bet you they're playing golf in Vancouver in this weather.
Yeah, they're idiots, though.
That's why they live in Vancouver.
No, Vancouver's a lovely city.
I love Vancouver.
Before everybody rips both of you, it's a lovely city with great people and nice golf courses.
Well, my daughter lived out there. My daughter lived there for 8 years. And whenever I'd go out and visit, she would say, Dad, on a clear day, you can see the ocean. And on a clear day, you can see mountains.
Were you ever there on a clear day?
No.
Okay.
Never when I visited was a clear day. Never saw mountains, never saw the ocean.
Bob did. Bob, of course, Bob is now the president of the Chamber of Commerce of Vancouver.
That's right.
Oh, you liked it.
2010.
Well, I used to go to Vancouver a lot. And then stopped for a long time and kind of forgot about it.
Huh. Do they have a house of play there? A casino?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
excellent. Excellent
is it?
Casino.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's one downtown, right down near the arena.
By the stadium, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. In fact, it's expanding.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And there's one in Richmond as well.
Maybe time for another trip.
One in Richmond as well.
Yeah.
Well, I did go in there.
I'm shocked. Shocked, Bob.
You set foot?
Well, I think my friend Shannon was going to a hockey game or something.
Here's what we used to do. Every day we would do the show from 1 to 3.
Yes.
We'd walk out the same door.
No, it wasn't 1 to 3. It was 1 to 4.
Okay, 1 to 4.
Yeah.
The hockey game was starting at 4:25. And we'd go out the same door, and Bob would go left to the casino, and I'd go right to the arena. And I'll see you tomorrow, pal.
Who had more fun? Oh, there we are.
I had a lot of fun.
That would be me.
There,
I
did have a lot of fun. Tied. Okay.
And, well, here's the thing.
Yeah, because he loves his hockey.
I didn't lose as much as Bob.
No, that's probably... You don't bet on the hockey games, obviously.
No. I just
is that in your contract or the policy of the company? That
you don't represent him? What is he? Are you the only guy not represented by Gordon Kirk around here?
On occasion,
He's a consultant to Shannon Sports Media. That's what we call it, consultant, right?
No, but let's talk. Is there a policy?
Oh, good. We're going to negotiate Rogers, right here on the show.
Is there a policy of Rogers that one cannot bet on games carried by Rogers?
No.
And nor should there be.
At least there wasn't until now.
Who raised that issue?
What a maroon you are, Kirk.
How a broadcaster sitting in a studio could actually affect, the game would be interesting.
Well, that's right. That's right. I mean,
we're not all like Bob.
No.
Influencing sports.
No.
Like Bob.
Later in the program, the real Gord Kirk will show up. Then Dale Talon of the Florida Panthers.
Did you watch them the other night? Did you watch them the other night? It was absolutely remarkable. 40-man shootout. 20 rounds.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that was the Washington game, right?
Washington, Florida, in Florida.
If ever there was testament to my suggestion that the shootout is ridiculous.
Oh, no. This was testament that the shootout was spectacular.
Come on.
This gave it three more years of life.
The game didn't end till the next day.
It was, I will tell you, I was sitting amongst some hockey cronies, and they were screaming. They were having so much fun. Oh, yeah. They were enjoying every moment.
Was there any beverages involved?
No beverages and no gambling.
Oh.
Okay. Please, no wagering.
Yeah, let's make that clear.
Why would you watch then, right?
What were you doing?
You're not
drinking and you're not gambling?
It was historic. A historic night.
It was hysterical. Okay, here we go. Oh, he shoots, he scores.
That's Nick Bjugstad.
Yeah, it was a good move, too.
Whoa.
And that's the 40th shot right there. That's the 40th shot.
Really, we need to do this?
Oh, yes. We'll ask Dale if he liked it.
He likes it because they won.
So I think, of course, when I was at the league, I said we should pass a rule that only the home team can win the shootout. Because that would
makes
be, that's the
sense.
Key.
Makes perfect sense.
Let the
sense.
Guy at home.
Well, so no, why just game's over and the home team's going to win
they
the
get
shootout.
The push.
Thank you very much.
They get the push.
Thanks for coming. Go home.
So is it the extra it's time over. That you oh. resent, Bob?
I just don't think it has anything to do with hockey whatsoever.
Right. Although the fans find it exciting.
Fans are idiots.
Tell the owners that.
Fans
don't cater to those fans. They don't know.
Fans and fighting. I mean, I'm not a fighting proponent, but you do go to a game and somebody fights, the people stand up.
Well, yeah.
They like a car accident.
Think of the owners.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you see a car accident, you slow down. I mean, it's human nature.
Yes, it is human nature.
And I think people, and I think for the most part, most people enjoy having a winner, and therefore the shootout makes some sense.
Why not just keep playing until it's just, over?
Yeah, because you can't.
Exactly. Sure, you
can't.
Can. No, yes,
you can't.
For TV reasons?
Why?
Well, television and travel.
Who cares about television?
You've got charter.
Television's a passing fad.
You think it's here to? It's not here to stay?
No.
Okay. Well, I've screwed that up, I guess. Kind of
cast your lot the wrong way. Yeah, that's
hitched
right.
Hitched my horse to the wrong wagon, baby.
As I was saying. Dale Talon will join us in a bit, and then Saul Corman, the president of Corey's, who brought food today, which he does every year.
What?
Where?
It's right in the control room.
So I'm leaving a little early.
See ya.
Gord Kirk, Global Resolutions, and first to the buffet.
Yes, that's right.
No, it's all deli stuff, and it's spectacular.
Oh.
It is spectacular.
Well, Saul would do a good job.
Oh,
for sure.
Unbelievable. Saul, come on, tell us where he got it.
Can I ask one question?
Can I finish the damn lineup?
Well,
you haven't shut up since we sat down.
I don't care after 5 o'clock. I'm not here, so I don't care.
After 5 o'clock, Ken Reed will be here, and the show really begins.
Oh, is it just an hour, huh?
Neil Smith will join us. Tim Couch, former number one draft choice of the Cleveland Browns.
The number one who wore number two.
currently a Fox SEC analyst.
Is he in the studio or by phone?
No, he's by carrier pigeon.
Oh, okay.
Don Banks of Sports Illustrated and Dmitry Chesnikov, our friend from Yahoo Sports.
Well, that's a good story.
The failing Russian economy is leaving the KHL in shambles.
Duh.
Mm. We're going to talk about the long-term future of it.
Can I ask a question now?
Go ahead.
Why is Gord here?
I was just about to introduce him.
Oh. Even though we've talked for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Who is he and what's he doing?
Well, no, he's supposed to be on at 4:10. It's now 4:10. See? Look at the clock. What? Yeah, he's on at 4:30.
4:05, Gord Kirk.
Well, they changed the times. Why did you change the times on me? What's the matter with you? The first guest is always on at 4:10. I don't even have to look. We'll squeeze him in. We'll squeeze Kirk out of here in 2 minutes. Don't worry about him.
Blow him out, and he can be at the buffet.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the president and CEO of Global Resolutions, Gordon Kirk.
Deja vu.
Gordon,
thank you very much. Thank you.
The UFC, are they still in business? Has been slapped with a lawsuit claiming illegal market monopolization by current and former fighters.
Okay. What does that mean?
Monopolization is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Monopolization is an infringement of the U.S. antitrust legislation. You can't have a monopoly and deprive people of the benefits they would otherwise have.
Yeah, but nobody's stopping you from launching your own UFC league.
No, that's right.
Mixed martial arts league.
Therein lies the right point. Shannon, right on it. Seriously.
What did you say?
See, nobody's stopping anybody from starting another MMA league.
Well, they say, and I don't know how they do it.
Wait a sec. There is another MMA league.
Yeah.
I think UFC bought it, didn't they?
They may have bought it. But they do things, according to the claim, that reduce the competition within mixed martial arts.
For instance?
I don't know.
Oh.
I haven't seen the claim. But that's the gist of the claim and the fact that the UFC ties up the talent, not unlike Rogers, with really onerous contracts and buys their names and not buys, I guess gets their names for free and the right to use their name, likeness, and image so that the talent can't go and ply their trade elsewhere.
But nobody's forcing people to sign these contracts.
No,
they?
Absolutely right. I think it's a tough case to make out.
Okay.
I agree with you. I think it's a very tough case. But look at every lawyer who wants to make a lot of money in the United States right now is doing antitrust work. So anytime they can get somebody to agree to launch an antitrust claim or a class action claim, they're all over it. But, so three wrestlers or entertainers or whatever they are have launched this claim. And another claim was launched by Minor League Baseball. The Minor League Baseball players, four of the former players have launched an action as well under the antitrust legislation, saying that they'd made way too little money as Minor League players, and they were wrongfully deprived by Major League Baseball of Minor League Baseball money.
How so?
They say that they have a draft, a first-year draft.
Right.
So you can't negotiate. You're not free to negotiate with a team of your choice. You must negotiate with whatever team drafts
you. All leagues have that.
But all leagues have it at the goodwill of the union. There's no union in Minor League Baseball. So, for example, the draft in Major League Baseball is sanctioned by Major League Baseball Players Association. So without a union, they're not protected from antitrust legislation.
So form a union.
So that would deprive them of their right under the antitrust legislation.
Well, what do you want? You can't have it both ways now.
No. But they're also saying,
pick your poison.
They're saying three things. One is that the draft deprives them of negotiating with the team of their choice, number one. Number two, they're saying there's a pool for signing bonus. And if you get to the limit of the pool, you can't get any more. So you don't have freedom to negotiate. And the third thing is that the salaries are at least suggested and probably adhered to by the Major League Baseball teams. They tell the minor league teams what they can pay. So the guys are saying we got way too little, like $3,500 to $5,000 a year.
Wait a second. Are minor league hockey players in a union?
Nope.
There is a professional hockey players association
for the East Coast League.
American League, too.
American League, yes.
Larry Landon actually runs
That's
it.
Right.
The former goaltender runs
from,
it.
From Ontario.
Yeah, but he lives in Hartford.
He used to, I
could be wrong. I could be wrong.
He was local at one time.
I don't know whether how important it is to the process.
I think they do a pretty good job.
Do they?
Okay. Yeah. No, they protect the rights of the players. When I was agenting in those dark days, they were very prominent in what
really?
We were doing. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Not obviously not like the NHLPA, but they had a role to play and a significant
perhaps role. You can explain this. The lawsuit for Minor League Baseball is actually against the Office of the Commissioner.
Yeah, Major League Baseball.
Saying
that the teams colluded.
Keep
down salaries in the minor leagues.
But the trickle down effect of what Major League Baseball wants goes all the way down to A-ball and the Florida League and the Texas League.
Yes. Yeah. They said those players were deprived of a chance to make a reasonable living. Now, this case has even less chance than the UFC one of going ahead, because this issue was determined by the Supreme Court of the United States in 1953, where they said that antitrust legislation does not apply to minor league baseball. So this is what we call an uphill battle to the extreme.
Okay, who
overturns the Supreme Court of the United States? It has to be itself. Yes, we were wrong in 1953.
Now, the great news is
There are different people on the Supreme Court.
Yes, not
they might very well.
So it's possible.
Maybe they'll hear the case.
They might.
They might not.
Tough one.
There are 9 of them.
Yes.
Just the same number as baseball.
Yeah, that's right.
And one
that
of them
shows
actually,
you how.
And one of them actually was involved in one of the baseball strikes. Sonia Sotomayor was on the Supreme Court. She was intrinsic to the last baseball situation.
How many Democrats are on the Supreme Court now?
I don't know how many there are now. They're going to be dwindle.
Well, no, but I mean, you've had a Democratic president for the last 6 years.
Yes, so he may have made some appointments. Depends who's.
I haven't been paying attention.
I don't think he's made that many.
I don't recall he's made that many. Well, they don't really kick Supreme Court justices out.
No, they have to die, and mostly. They can retire, but mostly they've got to die.
We all have to die, Gord.
And Republican appointees seem to die less frequently.
Why is that, do you think?
They're well preserved.
If you choose a young Republican for the Supreme Court, if you think about it, in Bush's time, they picked some younger guys.
So they'd be there forever.
For lasting power, yeah. Yeah.
Forever.
Feels like it sometimes.
Bush was not a dumb guy.
Did everything Dick told him to.
Yeah.
If there's 5 Democrats on the Supreme Court, and this case is heard by the Supreme Court of the United States,
yes,
The players win. If there's 5 or more Republicans, the players lose.
No,
is that what you think,
Bob?
Yeah, could be.
Bob.
Yeah, that's what
you
I
realize.
Think. I'm not listening to him at
the
all.
Pandora's
he hasn't
box.
Shut up since he sat down. Did you notice?
No,
that?
He's been very vocal,
very
today.
Chatty today.
But I think a good participant.
Thank you, Gord.
That's okay.
Pandora's box of reversing the Sherman Antitrust Act. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
I don't think we're going there.
No. No, that's why this is...
I don't
this
think
is,
we're going there.
This is a tough case. This is a tough case.
4 minor league baseball players are going to overturn the Sherman Antitrust Act? Come on.
And the 1953 decision.
That's almost as crazy as saying Major League Baseball is expanding to Havana.
Let's make it worse, John.
I said that yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I almost drove off the Gardner.
I'm telling you, within 3 years, you're going to be hearing talk about it.
Oh, no.
Going to happen.
When are we going to play the first game in Havana?
Well, first you got to open the casinos again.
The Sugar Kings.
Yes.
Got to get the casinos open. You got to get the mob guys down there.
Give me a date.
The rest will take care of itself.
Are we talking 10 years?
The next thing you know, Italian restaurants on every corner.
Oh, perfect.
And Major League Baseball.
Because that's what they need is good food in baseball.
Hold on. Forget about talk within three years. When are we getting the first baseball team, Major League Baseball team in Havana? Give me the date.
They got to build a stadium.
So now it sounds like Seattle. I mean,
so
in our lifetime,
10 years, yeah,
10 years.
Oh. In 10 years, it'll be a team.
That's close.
So in 2 of our lifetime, Gord.
What's that?
In two of our lifetime.
I don't think he meant you.
Smack him. Yeah. What's wrong with him today?
I'm in a good mood today.
You are.
Oh yeah.
Festive
idiot. Now, how about this? Did you read the Hernandez thing?
Yes.
So the Hernandez trial
There were the guy he allegedly shot.
Yes.
Whose name escapes me. What's his name, John? You know everything. You going to look it up?
Yeah, I got to look it up.
Olin.
Odin Lloyd.
Yeah, the minor league, the minor league football player.
Yeah.
Whatever he was. So
was executed, yes.
Yeah, he had a conversation about 10 minutes before he was shot dead.
Yes, by text.
Yes, and the prosecution wanted to admit that conversation.
Right, because it would have put Hernandez in the same location as the murder victim.
Well, he referred to him.
Yes.
Apparently, they used to call him NFL.
NFL.
And, yes, so, and the judge said no.
Yes.
Why?
There's a big mess in both the United States and Canada right now about the admissibility of text information.
Why?
Whether it's speculative, whether can it be proved. I think in this age of technology, there are brains bigger than even ours who can figure out how to verify that the text is accurate and came from the right person. But if I get your BlackBerry, for example.
Okay.
I can, or Apple, whatever you have.
BlackBerry.
And BlackBerry? Three BlackBerries. This is...
We're also a little older.
Yes,
kind
that
of
might be
why
it.
Why we're BlackBerry.
Anyhow,
well,
I imagine I could do things with your BlackBerry.
The pukes that have Apple, that's what...
Probably right.
So?
I could use your BlackBerry and do things with it.
Yes.
And
yeah, I guess
people
that's
would
true,
think
huh?
it came from Bob McCowan. And it didn't.
Wow.
So anyhow, the judge thought it was too speculative. But the interesting thing...
So is that hearsay? Is that pure and simple hearsay or no?
It's a form of hearsay. Okay. That's what they allege. The more interesting thing, I think, is the fact that Hernandez allegedly has been a bad boy over the years and is connected, allegedly, with killings of three other people. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be admitted either. Saying that that is too prejudicial to Hernandez's case if the jury knows that he might have been implicated in the killings of three other people as well. Because people say, he's that kind of guy. He must have done this one. And the judge found that she's not going to admit that.
Yeah, but you know what? If he's that kind of guy, he must have done this one.
There you are. First member of the jury, Bob McCowan.
Sign me up.
Yep, you're there.
I'll hang him.
Yeah. But anyhow, the judge didn't feel that way. We have the similar law in Canada, similar fact evidence. You know, if John is accused of a crime, can I introduce the fact that he's done similar things 15 times before?
And the answer is?
The answer is usually not.
Right.
Because the judges think that's prejudicial. It may not mean you did it this time.
So this could be a tough prosecution. The prosecution may be in tough shape here. They don't have a murder weapon, right?
They don't have a murder weapon. They don't have the text information.
They don't have a witness.
They don't have a witness. The only thing they've got is surveillance. They've got some surveillance tapes, although it's arguable whether Hernandez is properly identified on the surveillance tapes. But the surveillance tapes show Hernandez with the murder victim, apparently, in a car and going in that car to the park where the murder victim was murdered. So if they can establish it really was Hernandez, they got a better case than we think.
Wow.
You got time for one silly thing?
I've had time for the first five, so go ahead.
Lawyers will stoop to everything. There is a lawyer in Oklahoma City.
Is this like real or is this a joke?
No, don't. Well, it could be a joke.
There's a lawyer in Oklahoma City.
Oh, there was no lawyer in Oklahoma City who brought an action on behalf of a high school football team to court to ask the judge to overrule the decisions of the officials in the high school football game and award the game to the losing team. And the judge, quite properly, I think, said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to be in the business.
So wait, he filed an action based on the results of a football game.
Yes.
He's claimed the officials game. blew the call,
which is
that therefore cost them the game.
Which cost the... And I'm not sure what amount of money went with that loss, unless you're a gambler gambling on this high school football game. I don't know what the losses are. I mean,
they didn't hear the case, though, did they?
No,
He threw it out.
Yeah.
Well, then it doesn't matter.
Well, it matters that he threw it out, which I think is the right thing to do.
Your point is just how supercilious can people get?
Especially lawyers.
Well, and you're the only one that could say it.
That's right. That's right. Bing won.
Well, but the lawyer probably got paid.
I wonder if the lawyer was a parent.
Yeah, you could be right.
Well, there could be
you
that,
you know
too.
What? Yeah, there could be that aspect to it. Never underestimate the power of a parent.
Friday Night Lights,
or no,
baby.
Never.
Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
That's Gordon Eichhorn.
What's the name of this segment called? What's it called?
Global Resolutions?
No, no.
Oh.
Legal Briefs, right?
Legal Briefs.
Legal
yes.
Briefs with Gord Kirk. Legal Graves. With
Briefly
legal.
Legal
Business.
No. Oh.
Legal Briefs are what he's wearing.
I hope.
I don't know this for a fact, by the way. I just want everybody to understand. Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you.
Nice the buffet
see you,
is open.
All right.
Don't touch the food. Dale Tallon will be next when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan.
Let's go!
Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Six before the hour, McCowan and Shannon. So for the first couple of weeks of the NHL season, it looked like the Florida Panthers might compete for the number one draft choice. They weren't playing very well.
That's a little harsh.
Well, they weren't playing well. That's what I meant.
Okay.
But they were at or near the bottom of the standings.
They have turned it around.
Have they ever?
Yeah.
And here to explain how and why is the vice president and managing general of the Florida Panthers. Here's, what are you laughing at, Tallon? Here's Dale Tallon.
I like that term.
You like managing general?
Sure.
Yep. How are you anyway? Good, huh?
Very well, thank you. Yeah.
Can we please get rid of the shootout? I thought I was going to have to stay up all night.
Wasn't it great, Dale?
Oh, that was...
That was great when we won. It wouldn't have been so good if we
won. Yeah. Oh, you got that figured out.
Right. I hate to tell you, but I saw the list. You were 21st. They were bringing you out of the press box.
Yeah, I was coming down. Yeah. I was coming down. I almost came down a couple of times prior to that.
Would you have taken it? Would you have taken a slap shot from the blue line?
No, I don't think so.
No? Well, okay.
By the time it was an hourglass, that would have taken forever to get from the blue line.
Oh, well, let's leave that as it may.
Give me the old Bronco Horvat.
So what... Bronco Horvat, that's great. You dug that one out of the vault, didn't you?
Hey, Dale, I was one of those Canuck fans. I thought you should have been playing center.
Oh, well, that's what I should have played all my career. Somebody had a wise idea to put me back on D. No D. I was earning like Ernie, no D.
Well, there's no D in Tallon, that's for sure.
Very good. You can be quiet now for about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Hey, funny behind the, when he was behind the camera, he was a miserable son of a gun.
He still is, Tallon.
Yeah.
You're just on the phone. You don't have to sit beside him. I just went through an 8-minute break. He didn't shut up.
Makes you look good. Makes you look good.
Yeah. So can you explain to me, maybe you can, maybe you can't, what happened here? I mean, we haven't talked to you all season long. I know it's only a couple months in, but... it started so crappy.
Well, not really. I don't know why you're saying we're so crappy.
We
weren't scoring any goals, but we were getting some points, and we were in every game. We just very seldom, you look at our record, I think we've had a great number of one-goal games, but our goaltending is terrific. Coaching has been outstanding with Gerard and his crew, and the system is very simple, and our players are competing hard every night. And a different group every night that seems to get the job done. So, and we've got inner competition for jobs because some of our young guys have come up and stepped up and pushed our veteran guys. So
right.
It's competition for jobs. And, you know, we have a couple of healthy players sitting out tonight, you know. And so we've got these guys that better play well or they're going to have somebody take their jobs. We're finally getting to that point where we have depth in our system and some good young players in the minors. And we've got a bunch of young ones coming that we have to sign. So, you know, we're starting to get that competition that creates a little anxiety for guys that are struggling on the big club.
How's attendance?
It's getting better. You know, it's not
is
great.
It?
But we're not giving out free tickets. And we're not giving out, you know, we're protecting the integrity of our tickets. And,
good.
You know, we have four good home games coming up. We play Pittsburgh on the 22nd. We'll have a great crowd there. Then we play the Leafs on the 28th. That'll be close to a sellout. Montreal, the 30th, will be a sellout. The Rangers and New Year's Eve will be a good crowd. So it's coming. We're just, you know, it's going to be similar to the, you know, the way we play. One fan at a time and one period at a time and just keep getting better and put a better product on the ice and hopefully they'll come.
I think I know the answer to this, but historically, do crowds pick up once the football season ends?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. It's really tough in October, November, you know,
yeah.
Because there's so many kids playing football in Florida as well. You know, we
sure.
Are consumed with football.
Dale, if I had to look at this franchise and turning points in this franchise, would I look at March 4th of this year, when the day you got Roberto Luongo?
Yeah, I would think so. I think that's a big step. You know, obviously getting Aaron Ekblad and winning the lottery was a big step too. You know, the way he's played, he's been, you know, as good as anybody every night on the back end. So he's those two things, and then acquiring some veteran leadership guys that have won cups. Willie Mitchell has been an anchor back there. Thornton and McKenzie have been terrific on and off the ice in the locker room. And Bolin, when he's healthy, he's starting to come now and play. And so we've got added some pieces that have won championships, and that really helps our young guys.
What are the I know GMs, coaches don't like to talk about this kind of stuff. Do you set targets? You know, like team targets at the beginning of a season, like when you take a look at your roster?
Yeah, we have some internal goals, yeah. I mean, I'm not quite sure what you have to begin, but once you see how it comes together after the first 10 games, you just have to put a little segments together that make sense, you know?
Do you see this team as a playoff team? Do you see this team in the playoffs?
I think right in the way we've come together and the way we've played and we're getting healthy. We haven't had everybody healthy yet, but we're getting healthy.
Right.
The goaltending continues, and you know, every night's a dogfight. Every game goes down to the wire because we don't have that explosive scorer yet. But it's about what we're missing, a couple of guys that can put the puck away. And we're able to acquire one of those. We'd be a good, solid team.
When you interviewed all of your coaching candidates and finally settled on Gerard Gallant, what was it that Gallant sold you on, and has he gone above and beyond already?
Yes, he's been terrific. I just like him as a person. I like his he's realistically optimistic. There's no BS, you know, passionate, great knowledge of the game, simplifies it. You know, doesn't waste a lot of energy on video and complicating things. Keeping it very simple and very honest, and all those things. You know, just a terrific human being.
So you're not a high tech.
And he's had success. He's had success with the young guys in the past too. You know, Coach Junior and
sure.
Coach in the NHL. So we've got a lot of young players, and that was important to us. How he would handle all these young players we have.
How do you deal with all the new high tech, you know, statistics stuff?
Well, I take what's good and throw the rest out. I look at it and see what makes sense and what doesn't make sense, and try to use the stuff that we think is valuable moving forward. I think it's important to look at it. It's a piece of it, not the end all, but you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that makes sense too.
So
you have to think outside the box if you want to be successful.
So you have you're
getting the same stuff.
You have an analytics guy then, full time?
Yes.
Or you do?
Oh, you do,
yes.
Huh?
Yeah. Yes.
I got the impression you didn't have one.
Yes.
Well,
we do.
I
made a lot of wrong impressions.
Yeah, well.
Don't you say anything, Shannon.
No, I'm not saying a word.
He didn't
Dale.
Say a word.
I didn't say a word, Dale.
He was very quiet there.
Yeah.
He's respectful to you, not to me. we wish you continued success because it's been a nice little run you're on here.
It's a good team.
Yeah.
Fun to be around too. They're a real good group, and we'll be in it all year.
We'll talk again soon, I hope.
All right, Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Happy holidays. There's Dale Tallon, Executive Vice President and Managing General of the Florida Panthers.
Should be pointed out that they're a point behind the Bruins for the second wild card, and Florida has three games in hand. So you talk about situations, Bob, where post football season the crowds are better. There are teams out there that intentionally build their schedule based on having more home games after football's over.
Right.
The two teams that have done it more and more often than anybody, Florida and the New Jersey Devils. Lou Lamoriello has always had a back-ended schedule where he played lots of games in January, February, and March.
Saul Cormann's going to join us in a few minutes. I just want to take a couple minutes to talk a little bit about the Maple Leafs going for their seventh consecutive victory tonight against the Hurricanes. Is this one of those games that could easily kind of slip through the knots?
I don't think so, simply because that's not... Maybe I'm giving Randy too much credit, but that's not Randy Carlyle's MO. I mean, if it's left up to the players, maybe, but you know darn well that yesterday morning he was going through every negative scenario possible after beating Anaheim the other night. Every mistake they made on the ice, the players were being made aware of. For that simple reason is as good as they're playing, you can play better. That's something I think that Randy has probably accentuated the last 48 hours. And the other thing is I think that this team has played with such depth, all forward lines, is that I think that they're motivating each other now. I think that there's a healthy competition amongst the lines. I think, you know, that Santarelli, Kadri, and Winnick are pushing the second line. I think Peter Holland's line is pushing the Kadri line. And I think they're all trying to push Bozak, Van Riemsdyk, and Kessel. And I think that's very good for them. So this is a team that loves to score, scores more than any other team in the NHL right now. And I think that that's all part of what has kept them going. And I think that whole motivation, that self-motivation, will keep them from making a mistake.
Kenny and I talked a bit yesterday about the fact that fans don't seem to be jumping on this bandwagon the way they have in the past. I think this fan...
I don't blame them.
Yeah, I don't blame them either. And remember this, too. It was 11 months ago. The Toronto Maple Leafs went on an 11-2-1 run right before the Olympics and still missed the playoffs.
Well, and really, it has been a very much a home intense schedule.
Yes, it has.
Two teams that we talk about a lot on Sportsnet, the Vancouver Canucks and Calgary Flames, have had their real saliva tests on the road of late and haven't really recovered from them yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a challenge. So you have to think that this will be a challenge for the Maple Leafs. This seven-game, eight of the next nine are on the road, including the seven-game home road trip during the World Juniors. It will be interesting to see what team comes home and what eight of nine games, what do you measure success? Should they win? That includes the game against Philadelphia.
Well, in general terms, you want to play 500 on the road.
I think this team, in order, I think the team has to go in the next nine games. I think they have to go 6-3. I really do. I think they have to go 6-3 total. They can't take Carolina lightly tonight. Philadelphia is not a very good team either right now.
They're not on the road. They're not.
That's right. Well, they're not very good. Period. And so on Saturday they have Philadelphia at the Air Canada Center. Those two games and then seven on the road, they have to go at least 6-3. To me, that's big. Then they have Chicago on Sunday in Chicago. That's a tough game on a back-to-back.
We want to just take a couple of seconds to acknowledge something. Every year, our friend Saul Cormann, president of Corey's Clothiers to Gentlemen, 569 Danforth Avenue, sends over a delightful deli tray that John and I and Gord a few minutes ago have been picking at and will continue to pick at over the course of the night. It's spectacularly good. Saul's been doing this for, I don't know, 20, 25, 30 years, and he's on the phone with us. How are you?
How are you, Bobcat? Good. How's Mr. Shannon? How are you?
Great, Saul.
Well, he's okay.
You know what? I just heard you with Dale Talon.
Yeah.
Do you know I was a good friend of his father, Stan?
Really?
Well, Stan comes from Noranda.
Right.
Well, that's your home base originally.
Dave Keon also came from Noranda. So we're famous, you know.
How come you're not a hockey player? How come you're selling clothes?
Oh, are you kidding? You know what? Because being Jewish, I remember I did play hockey as a kid, and I was in the goal on a Friday night. And my mother came and says, "It's a Sabbath. Get the goalie pads off. You can't play hockey."
Really, huh?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
wow.
That would happen.
Yeah.
How come you never became a hockey player?
Well, I played when I was a kid. I wasn't good enough, I guess. That was the answer.
But you were a great golfer. I know that.
Well, yeah.
Dale Talon's a great golfer.
Oh. Dale's a good player.
Better than you, or just about the same?
Well, we've never played together.
Well, Dale.
Dale's a pretty strong player.
I think if he gave Bob a stroke aside, I think it'd be even. How's that?
Okay, but I got to tell you a great story. Bit. All Dale's father and that whole gang that lived in Rouyn Noranda, Lou Matthew, the Conley brothers, everybody, and Camp Douglas, if they didn't drink so much beer, they would have been. Everyone would have been in the NHL. That's how good they were. Remember, we had snow and ice rinks for 10 months of the year.
Yeah, but they were always well-dressed, though, Saul.
Oh, they were always well-dressed.
Yeah.
Look at number 24 for the Leafs. Are you enjoying seeing him dress?
Peter Holland.
Yes, we're doing him. And I'll tell you, he's such a nice, nice kid. And you know what? It's good to see. But you know what? I admire the Maple Leaf organization because when they get the kids see them all being dressed. Hockey's done a wonderful thing. They have to dress up, and it's good to see. You know what? Ed McCowan, you look good in that jacket. That's a Copley.
Well, yeah, it is.
Of course, I can recognize. I'm looking at you on TV while I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I'm going to
wish you a Merry Christmas. It's a Copley. It's Xenia fabric, too.
Oh, my God. I'm going to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's. And I want to tell you, it's been 38 years that we've been talking to each other every year.
Really?
Unfortunately, I can't walk into the studio. They got to build you a new studio closer to the street, and I'll get there. Shannon, how do you get there? Do you park underneath the garage?
I do, indeed.
Well, yeah, you can park right downstairs, and we can bring you up the elevator.
I never knew that. Nobody.
I tell you what.
That.
Next year, Saul, I'm coming to pick you up.
All right, I'll come over. All right.
We're gonna pick you up.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's, and thanks for Bob.
Thanks,
we
pal.
Love you.
We love you too, Saul.
Light the candle for us tonight.
I will. All right. My third one.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
There's Saul Corman, the president of Corey's Clothiers for Gentlemen, 569 Danforth Avenue. And he has been an advertiser, a sponsor, and a friend to this program and to this radio station for as long as I've been here.
And to me, that was part of the culture of the station from the beginning when I moved back to Toronto. So, Corman, you know, I mean, that was, you know, 965 Danforth Avenue.
569. Oh,
there we go.
Close.
Yeah, no, but I just said that's all part of, that was part of the magic. You know, he was part of what you guys brought to the table every night.
Well, and he has great stuff. I mean, you know, no matter what you buy, whether you buy the Copley stuff or any of the other high-end stuff.
This is where you're supposed to mention Warwick Jones?
Oh, yes, Warwick Jones, the president of Copley, yes.
There you go. If you don't mention
these
guys.
Did he text you or something?
No, but I know Warwick. Warwick and I did some Olympics together. We clothed a few people, and Warwick's a good man. But every time, if you mention Saul, you've got to mention Warwick every second time. It's in the contract somewhere.
All right, we also want to shout out, say thank you to the Center Street Deli, who provided the food for today. They're in Thornhill, right? On Yonge Street? Are they on Yonge? Center Street. Oh, of course, it's Center Street Deli. Yes, well, why would you call it the Center Street Deli if it was on Yonge Street? Then you call it the Yonge Street Deli. Although, I think there's something interesting about the Center Street Deli on Yonge Street. Kind of like that. Mr. Shannon will be leaving not a moment too soon. Neil Smith will join us. Tim Couch, the former Browns quarterback.
Don
Banks of Sports Illustrated. And Dmitry Chesnikov of Yahoo Sports.
A lot of people liked my shirt yesterday.
How many?
One.
So?
One not named Shannon.
It's 50-50. thank you, Johnny. Back tomorrow?
See you tomorrow.
Great.
Gonna be sick again?
Feel another cold coming on here. Coming up to 8 minutes before the hour, we'll take the break. Back with more. Primetime continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.